All right, happy 4th Monday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Let me say hey to everybody in the chat as soon as I get it going here. There we go. Granite 2468 is on. B. Wethy's on. Robin Aroni is on. Scooter Magruder is on. Hassle-Free TV is on. Mike Griffith's on. Skunk71's on. Guitar Glenn is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. Snarl Barkley is on. Hanslick Donovan is on. I Am Mark FB is on. Gloyd Shaw is on. DK Jackson is on. Judy Anita is on. Agravain is on. Richard Perry is on. Spaz 64 is on. Peg McGroin is on. Sexy Pony's on. Veronica 18201 is on. Mike Griffith is on. K4 VMS is on. Jim Brody's on. East Trout is on. Nate Dad 1 is on. Keeper 1376 is on. Clean Sanchez is on. B Haven is on. Jersey Dude is on. Sheila K is on. Lisa Kinzer's on. Hassle Free TV is on. Let me see here. I'm starting to say people twice. DC941 is on. Those Jesus People is on. Rum Pierre is on. Stefa Toms is on. Let me see here. Leon Fish Puppy is on. Jesus Mighty Name is on. DC941 is on. Day Now 59 is on. Laura Jean Lynn is on. Ron Schlag is on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Let's hop right into this. I'm going to do a little thing first. Then we're going to get into the big, beautiful bill. Just a little lawfare. The Supreme Court, SCOTUS has been doing pretty good lately. Got to acknowledge that. But I just want to, but this particular judge certainly is not. Elena Kagan has not done well. Scott Jennings' video, this is usually I show these type of videos in the pregame, but this was too big a deal to put into the pregame. So I just wanted to discuss it for a minute. Does anyone remember Justice Kagan being against nationwide injunctions? Remember, she just voted in favor of keeping nationwide injunctions being able to be put in place by district court judges. Remember that? Just had that landmark ruling, 63, disabling district judges from being able to do completely and totally nationwide injunctions against Trump policies. Well, you know, she was totally and completely against nationwide injunctions by district judges. And then suddenly, when they were being used against Donald Trump, she became in favor of them, which is just emblematic of our entire political system. But here it is, Scott Jennings' video. Play for me.
Nationwide injunction has been sort of the bane of the existence of Democrat and Republican presidents. It's just that now this court has actually done it.
Yeah, they finally done something about it. Friday was a great day for Donald Trump. I was trying to sort out my feelings on this matter, and I came up with a quote from a very smart lawyer, and I just want to quote it because I think she was right when she said it. It just can't be right that one district judge can stop a nationwide policy in its tracks. Justice Elena Kagan in 2022 said that, of course, when we had a Democratic president.
It just can't be right that one district judge can stop a nationwide policy in its tracks and leave it stopped for the years that it takes to go through normal process.
Now, she voted against the decision on Friday, just goes to show you that some of these folks really are hacks. But as you correctly said, this has been the bane of existence of presidents, and I'm glad they went ahead and fixed it, because it's not right that one of these individual district court judges can act like a king or a monarch and stop the elected president from acting.
So here you have Elena Kagan saying right there in the interview that she can't imagine how it could possibly be right for a district court judge to put forth a nationwide injunction against the administrative branch, against the current administration, so the executive branch. But anyway, I mean, it's just, she says it. She says, you know what? I can't see how it could possibly be right for a district judge to execute an injunction, a nationwide injunction against the executive branch. She can't see how that would be right, and then she has the chance to vote in what she says she believes in, but what she actually believes, which of course she voted in favor of keeping district judges putting out nationwide injunctions because she voted against defying them that right. So again, this is just somebody, and this is very, again, how it always is in the DC cocktail circuit, is that you don't vote according to principle. you vote according to political expediency. She knows that she would lose all of her credibility as the cocktail circuit liberal. They're not even, I don't like even like to use the word liberal, as the cocktail circuit leftist, if she in fact voted her conscience. Because how could it ever be right for a district judge to issue a nationwide injunction? Correct me if I'm wrong, aren't they a district judge? Then how are they able to issue a nationwide injunction against the current administration, against the executive branch? But so what she was actually saying, as the unprincipled charlatan that she is that if a Democrat is president, I'm against district judges putting injunctions against their EOs and policies. But if a Republican is president, and especially Donald J. Trump, then I am in favor of district judges putting forward nationwide injunctions. That's what she actually said. I mean, that's really, by her vote, that's what she said, even though it defies what she actually said in an interview. And that's exactly how Washington, D.C. works. And by the way, it's both parties. It really is both parties, because everybody does what is quote unquote on the right, on the Republican side, does what's quote unquote right until it costs them something. They do what's actually correct until it will cost them something. They can't speak out against Israel in any way, shape, or form, because then they won't get their Israeli lobbyist money. Or the worst, the biggest fear of all is that they won't be accepted and they won't be considered to be respected anymore. They'll be like people like you and I, who are these conspiracy theorists, even though we've been proven right over and over and over again. I don't know if you watched the pregame or not, but Aaron was commenting on how it's all coming out. We had Peter McCullough testifying, and we've already covered it on the podcast. I don't know if I'm going to get to the vax section of the show tonight or not. I've always pretty much always have a vax section ready. But Peter McCullough has said they did the study where they actually just randomly took, you know, basically, it probably wasn't 100, but just for ease of conversation, 100 people who died who were vaccinated, and they just simply did autopsies on them, and 75 out of 100, 75% of them died of the vaccine. That's an absolute fact. It's a peer-reviewed study. And then what happened with all, and again, you go back to the Pfizer data, which, you know, very strangely, the Pfizer data, they wanted to keep all of that. So they wanted to keep it all sequestered. They wanted to keep all of the Pfizer trial data, the Pfizer vaccine trial data. They wanted to keep all of that sequestered for 75 years, something like that. So they wanted to keep it, you know, quiet for 75 years, basically classified for 75 years. And if you're a Republican and you see the vaccine that you pimped or hoard, and the company that it developed, that was developing it, and they're trying to keep their developmental data quiet and sequestered for 75 years, you ought to maybe think I'm wrong. Now, I can flat out tell you that if I would have pimped any product, whatever the product may be, but, you know, whatever it may be, an energy drink, and then I found out that, you know what? It turns out that people who drank the energy drink that had an average life expectancy drop by 10 years. I would come out immediately and say, I was wrong. Stop drinking it now. But why don't the Republicans do that? I mean, they see all of the studies. They know the Peter McCulloughs. They know the Robert W. Malones. They know the Ryan Coles. These are all, I mean, before COVID-19, these were all huge names in their areas of expertise. Whether it's cardiovascular with Peter McCullough, whether it's immunology, epidemiology with Robert W. Malone, who owns many of the patents for mRNA technology. Whether it's Ryan Cole, board certified pathologist. These are experts. I mean, experts. There's nobody has ever written more about the cardiovascular system and all of those writings being peer-reviewed and peer-approved than Peter McCullough. And all of these studies are coming out. And what does Ted Cruz say? Nothing. Says absolutely nothing. And you can name one. What does any Democrat senator say? Nothing. They see the data, but it will be politically damaging to them to actually put out the data that 75 out of 100 people sampled. It may have been hundreds of people. I can't remember. I'd have to look at the study again. It may have been 1,075, but it's 75% of those that they just picked that were vaccinated people. What did they die of? Because for some strange reason, they died. It's not people who are 103 years old who died at 104. These are people who just for some reason died unexpectedly. And they just wanted to find out why it is that they died. And 75% of them died of the vaccine. Why is that not international news since billions of people took the vaccination? And 80% of the American population took at least one dose. 80% of our population took at least one dose. Shouldn't this be huge news? I mean, if it was something that you and I had pimped as the red-pilled right, if you and I had pimped those things, first of all, we'd all be coming out and saying, because we're people of integrity, we'd all come out and say, I was wrong. Get it off the freaking shelves now. But nobody is saying it. Not the limp-wristed right. Nobody but people like you and I. We're the only ones who say anything about it. But when, why is that? And it goes back to Elena Kagan. Why isn't she backing her views? Why isn't she backing her views? Why doesn't she go, okay, you know what? I never believed that a district court judge should be able to issue a nationwide injunction. She actually, I mean, quote, said, I can't see how that's right. But yet when it's working against Donald Trump, she votes in favor of them having that ability. And when it's working against Barack Hussein Obama, she votes against them having that ability. That is an absolute political whore. And all of us should always run from being a whore about anything. All of us should, I mean, being used up and thrown out the side of a limo. We should all run away from that. But that's how most people are. They really are. They will do anything for approval. They will do anything to keep their $80,000 a year job. Most people will do anything to keep their $32,000 a year job. They'll do anything to do it. I saw it during COVID. You want me to wear a mask? No problem. You want me to wear two? No problem. You want me to wear three with an N95? No problem. You want me to stand 6 feet apart? You don't even ask why or who came up with it. Scott Gottlieb on the Pfizer board, that's who came up with it. Okay, no problem. I'll stand 6 feet apart. You want me to close my business? No problem, I'll do it. Close my church? No problem, I'll do it. That's what people do. Why? All for expediency. It's not because they believe it. I mean, most of the people that I saw bend their knee to COVID don't really believe it. And it's the same thing when they bend their knee to any of these things, whether it's climate change or transgenderism. You don't bend your knee you don't stand up against it by accommodating it. Oh, you know, we don't want to start any trouble. So, you know, my Uncle Jim wants to be called Uncle Jane. No problem. I mean, he's put some lipstick on now. He's got a 5 o'clock shadow, some lipstick, and I can see that he hasn't got it lopped off. But you know what? I'm still gonna call him Jane because that's what he wants. And you know what? Thanksgiving will be miserable if I don't do it. I'm not doing it. That's why most people bend their knee. I'm telling you, most people are gonna take the mark of the beast. Nobody's ever gonna take the mark of the beast on their right head or on their forehead, Revelation 13 and 14. Most people are not going to take that. No, nobody's going to take it because they're going to get a knock on the door. Hey, this is the beast, and we need you to take this because, you know, it'll just show that you're evil. And by the way, it marks you for hell. We want you to take it, but you know, there's a lot of benefits before you get to hell. Nobody's going to take it for that reason. Most people are going to take it because they're afraid of the consequences of not taking it socially. Not even because they think there's a guillotine waiting for them. It'll be because Christians, you get this, Aaron, get this, Brent. It'll be because Christians will tell them it's not Christ-like to not get it. Christians will say, you know, it's just not Christ-like for you not to get vaccinated. I mean, for you not to get your QR-coded mark of the beast on your right hand or on your forehead. They will tell them, I'm telling you, you don't believe me? Okay, why did all of the Christians say that it wasn't Christ-like to keep your church open? I mean, again, I think it's your fault, Brent. I think it's Brent's fault that I'm on this COVID tear again. It is, because he showed me a video Friday after the podcast of a church that he's familiar with. And I'm like, it hasn't left my mind. It's rolling around in there. That's a dangerous place for any conceptual idea to be bouncing around. It's a dangerous place in my own mind. But I mean, I'm telling you right now that Christians, diametrically acted against the word of God and then told people who acted in the word of God that they weren't Christ-like acting in the word of God. Can you believe that? But that is the anti-Christ spirit. Part two this Sunday at Foundation Church. I got to get off of this or it's going to go all night. Aaron probably thinks I could rattle on about COVID till 10:10.
At least.
I disagree. I disagree. But anyway.
I don't know. I'm always right about that stuff. So,
he does hit it on the head most of the time. Hey, Aaron, put up that graph for me real quick. The one that I told you to grab. This is off the pregame. I just had to show you this. I mean, does everybody see this? And again, you're like, Tom, but you're hard on Trump. Of course I am. Listen, I'm hard on it. I'm hard on myself. If I screw up, I'm hard on myself. When I screw up or I sin, I don't sit there and go, you know what? I didn't screw up and I didn't sin. And even if I did screw up and even if I sin, it's Aaron's fault. You know what? Oh, it's okay. Aaron's not in town. All right. It's my wife's fault. Oh, you know what? My wife's not in town. It's my mom's fault. No, I just say I screwed up and I need to talk to God and ask him to forgive me of my sin and I'll turn from it. I don't make excuses. I'm hard. I'm not. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, Hebrews 4:12. I just preach the word. There's another Bible verse for you, 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word instantly, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. It is what it is. The truth is the truth. And so, but Trump, most of what Trump does, I don't like real ID. I hate what he did to Israel, and I hate the big, beautiful bill. Hate it. Hate them all. But I'm glad the military succeeded, and I think they did disable a lot of the Iranian nuclear program for years to come. But doesn't mean their enriched uranium's gone or anything. It's still there. But anyway, I mean, to some degree, I think they got some of it. But anyway, but when Trump does great, because he's still, no matter how, you've never heard me say I'm jumping off Trump train. You never heard me say I gave up on Donald Trump. None of those things. And you never heard me tell anybody who was for the Iranian strike that they're not MAGA. They're fake MAGA because they're for the Iranian strike. And we were all voting for no new wars. I never told them they were fake MAGA. I told them they were wrong about that. But everybody, not everybody, but a lot of the people who were for the Iranian bombing, they were all people. They went when they were talking to someone like me, they were telling me that I was fake MAGA. So I never wasn't any of those things. So I just call it like I see it. And it's really easy to see. The big, beautiful bill is a big, beautiful boondoggle that nobody needs to be voting for. Nobody. And I'm not equivocating from it. I'm not saying, you know what? Trump needs a political victory. If a political victory is to the detriment of the nation, then it's solely a personal victory, a personal political victory, and not one for our country. We just crossed $37 trillion in debt. And that no matter what they say, as is, and yes, they are not. Now, everybody does not take into account how much money will be made, how much extra money will come in. But you know why nobody takes that into account? Because you don't know that it's coming in. You don't know, so you can't do that. I mean, you cannot count on an increase of tax revenue because you don't know for sure it's coming in. But here's on this right here. I mean, look at these freaking numbers. It's unbelievable. And let's just look real quick. It's right there on the very edge where rocket ships up is 2025, obviously when Trump took office. Now look at the years before that. Because I mean, right there is where Trump took office. Right? You can see right where he took office, right where that little arrow sticking out off the box. Look at the years before that. Those are the Biden years. Let me look at the Biden and look at Trump's first term. You see that 2015? See right where it turns to 17, it goes way up. It goes way up until he leaves office. And then, you see how, and I don't mean to be, you know, over specific here, but if you look at this, and right when he leaves office in 2021, it continues to go up. You go, oh, wow, Biden did. No, he kept China's tariffs. He kept the tariffs that Donald Trump imposed on China. Biden kept them in place. And then Biden started to work it. And look what happened. Then Biden started working the economy. Look what happened. It just exponentially went down. Amazing, isn't it? So now look at this. I mean, they're talking. Donald Trump gets a phone call from OMB, and they're like, we don't know what's happening over here. What are we supposed to do about this money? That's what he got a call from him. And he went, oh, man. He's like, I don't know if I played it or not, or I just watched it. I can't keep it all. I can't keep track of it all because I watch so much stuff and I play so much stuff. But anyway, so Trump, they called him up, and they said, Office of Management and Budget, what are we supposed to do about the money? And he goes, oh, man, what are you talking about? There's some kind of deficit somewhere. He goes, no, billions are coming in. Where are we supposed to allocate it? We're actually making more now. I mean, look at it. Than what our tax revenue, not in comparison, but now this is all excess money that's come in. Excess unknown money that they weren't planning on. Well, it's planned on once you knew you're going to put tariffs on. But what wasn't budgeted is coming in. So these people don't know Office of Management and Budget. They don't know what to do with it. So Donald Trump's like, put it over here, put it over there, whatever it may be. But this is just a fantastic job. And I wanted to be positive before I went negative. Let's go to the next one. Josh Dunlap tweet. Breaking Elon Musk, and I agree 100%. Not necessarily, I don't know about primary challenges for every member of Congress. I don't know, but I do agree with the sentiment. Elon Musk announces primary challenges for every member of Congress who campaigned on reducing government spending and voted for the big, beautiful bill. Then everybody has to be primary but Thomas Massey, because that's everybody's voting for it. Yeah, it's not me. There might be another one. Maybe MJT. She might be voting against it. I'm not sure. But all these people are getting behind it that are not, that are supposed to be fiscal hawks. They're supposed to be people who want to cut a lot of government spending. But they're getting behind it because they don't want Trump to have a loss. But passing this bill is a loss. It's like right now, what's coming out about Iran is that there's, communications between the mullahs, between Iranian leadership, secret communications that were found that are saying, and I've got this story, I never know if I'm going to get to anything or not. But anyway, it was put out by the Washington Post, and they actually have the communications between different leaders inside of Iran saying that their nuclear program really wasn't hurt very badly. And this is why I didn't want to ever bomb Iran. We don't need to be involved in any of that. That we wouldn't even have to be worried about their communications. So now it has to immediately, the White House has to respond. We never needed to be involved in another foreign war. It was a precision strike unless it was done in your neighborhood. So we don't need to be involved in another war. We wouldn't even have to be dealing with these mullah communications or these communications between different leaders inside of the Iranian regime. We don't need to be bothering with it. And it's the same thing here with this big, beautiful bill. We need to go line item bills. One thing at a time, because it's like I told you, and I kind of apologize, but I don't apologize for the redundancy. But what they do with these omnibus spending bills, and I've got a video with Thomas Massey speaking here, I think it was with Theo Von, about these omnibus spending packages. All it is leverage. Everything's leverage. And we're going to get to the Senate proletariat here just in a couple slides. And it's being manipulated by her also. An unelected bureaucrat put in place by Harry Reid 10 years ago. 10 years ago or more, maybe, but it's at least 10 years ago put in place by Harry Reid. But it's the same old thing over and over and over again. If you say, what's happening now is nobody wants Trump to suffer a loss, so they're voting against their values. That's being a whore. You're a political prostitute. But if I vote against it, then I'm going to lose favor with Trump. Then you do what's right. If I vote against it, I mean, whatever it is, you do what's right. If you're voting for it gives you favor with Trump, you vote. If doing right means voting against it for this particular bill, doing right means voting against it. If you are a conservative, you're a fiscal hawk, like everybody says that they are, on the campaign trail, just denigrating the Democrats, and rightfully so, for their unfettered spending us into oblivion, which, by the way, it's not just the Democrats. George W. Bush, $9 trillion of debt. Hussein Obama, $11 trillion worth of debt. Donald Trump, because of COVID, $6, $7 trillion worth of debt. Joe Biden, I don't even know what readout is correct on Joe Biden, but it's somewhere between $8 and $12 trillion worth of debt. So everybody's doing it, and every Congress does it. I mean, Mike Johnson spent Mike Johnson talked about being bent over. Mike Johnson couldn't have bent over any faster or any further over for Joe Biden. He passed and backroom dealed all of his minibus and omnibus spending packages. And why omnibus packages stink, what I was going to say a minute ago, is because what they do is leverage you. They will put in all sorts of things like, funding for NGOs for, you know, circumcisions in Mozambique. And all, again, what NGOs are about are non-government organizations, organizations put in place to be fully staffed by Democrat to push forward Democratic Party values, but they call themselves non-for-profits and non-government agencies, and they're supposed to be apolitical and unbiased. But of course they aren't. And that's all our, that's why we're $37 trillion in debt, is because of funding NGOs, which are fully staffed by Democrats, paying themselves billions to disseminate thousands of dollars. They pay themselves billions to give away thousands. All of the billions and all of the thousands are your taxpayer dollars. But these omnibus spending packages, what they do is we're going to fund all of these NGOs, and we all hate it, right? These NGOs for, you know, gay puppet theater in India. Okay, all that, that's all, you know, guppy studies in Southern California, why it burns to the ground. And all those studies are done by these NGOs that hire Democratic Party consultants, funnel money into Democratic Party campaigns. All of our opposition, we pay for it. They're now tracking who paid for the riots in LA. It's all coming back to NGOs. And they're layered out, so it's difficult to track the money because it goes from one institute to the next, but it's all our taxpayer dollars. And if somebody just takes the time, like a data Republican, and actually tracks the money, you and I are paying for our own demise. We pay for the protests against us. We pay for the banning of our speech. We pay for the abortions. We pay for everything through these NGOs. But why these omnibus spending packages and minibus spending packages are terrible is about leverage. Because what they'll do is they'll be like, okay, we're putting in, they're all trillion-dollar packages. It's hard to even talk about it. But anyway, we're putting in hundreds of billions of dollars into these NGOs that are absolute waste of money. And then they put in one program to save the puppies. And Aaron, as a congressman out of Florida, he votes against it because of the because of all the funding for the Democratic Party NGOs. And what do they say? Aaron wants to kill puppies. He voted against the puppies. That's 100%. What they do.
Yep.
So they'll have, it's literally like ordering a cable TV package. You have to order all the crap to get the channels you actually want. And what I'm saying is this, is why Aaron told me years ago, just get off of cable. He doesn't have any, you know, TV, and I just disconnected my DirecTV because he's like, just get streaming services. You pick whatever you want then. Now, you don't have to get these packages because that's what they do. They leverage you into it. They leverage you into voting. And it can be, of course, that was a very simplistic example, but they'll have 40 horrific things and 3 good things, like cancer research and save the puppies, and you vote against the 40 horrible things. Like, oh, he wants everyone to have cancer. He's against cancer research. He wants all the puppies to die. That's what they do. So what do people do? They vote for the 3. They vote for the 40 horrible things. So that they get the 3 good things, and the 3 good things never actually come to fruition. That's what happens every single time. But Elon Musk is correct here. Oh, but Tom, if you say that, you know, Trump girl or MAGA X1 or your Laura Loomer or Cat Turd, if you dare speak against Donald Trump, you're going to be excommunicated from the MAGA movement. Well, just excommunicate me then. Do a reverse cross, whatever it is, and excommute me out. I'm not bending over for anybody. I'm not bending over for Trump. I'm not bending over for the leftist, globalist, bourgeois elitist. I'm bending over for COVID. I don't bend over for the vaccinations. I don't bend over for art churches and for weak, lukewarm Christianity. I don't bend over for those things. And it's not out of pride. It's because I am held accountable to the Holy Ghost. And I'm not going to be like, oh, well, I want Trump to have a victory, so I want the big, beautiful bill to pass, knowing it's going to add $2.3 trillion to the debt in 1 year. Well, no, you know what? All the earnings are going to wipe away all the debt. That's what everybody says every time, and it never happens. Just like we know, we're just going to have to pass this one more time. How many times have we heard this, Aaron?
Oh, dude.
We just pass it this one time. That way we don't have to deal with the political upheaval. We get it done. Then they don't have a campaign point against us. Let's just get this passed this one more time. Yep. And Aaron, what, you got that clock available? We need to just keep it holstered up because I'll probably refer to it a lot here in the next half an hour. But anyway, every time they don't do a thing, and here we are. Every time, listen, excommunicate me from the MAGA movement. I don't care. I am as conservative. There is nobody more right-wing, conservative, Christian, nationalist than me. But I speak what is correct. When Trump is wrong, he's wrong. Big, beautiful bill sucks. Does it have good parts in it? Yeah, but they're leveraging you. They're leveraging Donald Trump, and the Senate proletariat is actually part of it. So here we are again. If nothing has changed. I can do it. It actually looks faster to me right now. I mean, I don't know. It actually looks faster.
Kind of does.
Yeah. You know, it actually looks faster. But I mean, if we look right now, the Doge clock is way off. Doge isn't doing nothing. I mean, little things here, little trickles. But anyway, I mean, again, I guarantee you right now, if we start the clock and I'm waiting for it to turn to 799, there you go. You go 19 seconds from now, it's going to be 800 million. 19 seconds from now, that's going to be 800 million. 19 seconds from a few seconds ago. See how it goes? It's going to be another $1 million. Another $1 million going. It's coming. Here we go. Ready? Here comes 7. Here comes 8. This is actual spending. 9. Boom. There you go. There's another $1 million was just spent in 19 seconds. Nothing's changed. And the big, beautiful bill adds, we go to 40 million, 40 trillion in debt in 1 year. It's slated, and this spending continues to add another 30 trillion. That's a fact. Trump says it gets offset by all the earnings, by all the new money coming in. I guarantee you he's going to make a whole ton of money, but you're going to have to cut spending or this is going nowhere. Because if you just negate how much you're spending, then you're not taking away the debt. Right. The debt has got to be paid. Well, there's no, and all, everything is, it's always, in D.C., it can never be done. Remember? We need comprehensive border reform. You know, we all need to come together. The president can't do it unilaterally. So we all need to come together for big, you know, for the, you know, comprehensive border bill. And all Donald Trump closed the border in 3 days. Closed the border. You know, good. Credit to him. Greatest president of my lifetime, including Ronald Reagan. Becomes the greatest president in history if he takes that down to 30 trillion. He gets that down to 30 trillion before he leaves office. He's the greatest president in United States history. But he's going to have to do that or he's not. Simple as that. All right, let's go to the next one. I don't even know where I'm at. Let's see here. Donald Trump truth. Now, here's the problem right here. Donald Trump's wrong here. For all cost-cutting Republicans, shouldn't that be all of us? I thought we're fiscal hawks. I thought we're conservative. That means we want to conserve our money, to not spend wastefully, of which I am one, which he is. Remember, you still have to get reelected. Aaron, should that be something? Should that be taken into consideration with your votes? Do you have to be reelected? No.
No.
You do what's right.
Yep.
Let me ask everybody, I can't ask, I've only got both the guys in the room here, friends of mine and church members. Does anybody honestly believe that I would preach something to keep my job?
No.
I didn't do it at the sheriff's office. I didn't go along to get along there either.
Yeah.
Tom, did you have conflicts there? Yeah, I had conflicts. Big ones. Big conflicts. Okay, because I don't go along to get along. I don't. There's times where somebody wanted to press. Well, I remember one case, somebody wanted to press criminal charges, and they were absolutely ridiculous. I refused to do it. Went to my supervisor. I still refused to do it. I told my supervisor in a nice way because he's a great guy. I said, listen, you want to sign that freaking ridiculous charging document? You can. I ain't never putting my name on that thing. And he signed it. I'm not signing that thing. It's absolutely ridiculous. No, I'm not doing it. If the rule is that you have to be like a social capitulator to pastor a church? Well, I just want pastor a church. Aaron Brett know what I'm about to say. I'll just move to the side of the mountain.
I knew it was coming.
I'll chop wood. Yep. Put my skis on, ski down and ski lift. I'll be on the ski patrol or something, make $200 a week.
I'll be your neighbor.
Yeah, and Aaron's going to follow me anyway, so I'll still be able to be up on tech. I mean, maybe I'll still do the broadcast and scream a couple nights a week. But other than that, I'm not going to preach what's wrong to keep my job.
Yeah.
Hey, listen. 40% of my church, we weren't a big church then either. I mean, we have 800 to 1,000 people now, depending on which Sunday it is. But I'm like, most of the time, way more than 800. But I'm just saying, at that time, we had 200 people and 40% of the church left. That was some lonely Sundays. Some lonely Sundays. And you drive in the parking lot, it's pretty empty. You walk in there, pretty empty. But you know why they all left? I can't imagine anybody would say this, but it's because I lack compassion. I don't get it. Because I refused to preach what was wrong to satiate the wrong, to make people who are wrong feel right. I refuse to preach what's wrong to keep my job. I refuse to preach what's wrong to make people who are wrong feel comfortable. People who are wrong need not to feel comfortable. Donald Trump is wrong here. You don't vote to get reelected. You vote according to principle. Thomas Massey, and listen, I agree with Massey 90% of the time. I'm just saying, he does some stuff I don't like. And he capitulates, and he kowtows sometimes too. He does some kowtow bull crap sometimes. But anyway, Massey right now, he's facing a Democratic party, he's facing a Republican primary challenge funded by Donald Trump. With like one of his attorneys, Chris LaCivita, right there running the show. Donald Trump should have fired all of his attorneys because all they ever did was get, all he was one civil lawsuit after another and lost every case he was in, basically. He did. He basically lost every, he's going to win on appeal. But anyway, I digress. But anyway, not every case. Obviously, he won the West Palm Beach case. But anyway, so he says, you still have to get reelected. Don't go too crazy. Bull crap. That means, I'll make it a COVID equivalent. So you know what? All right. Just don't tell people to get vaccinated. Just don't preach against it.
Yeah.
Have everybody mask and let's, you have 1,000 people come to the church, do 3 services and you're allowed 100 at a time and everybody else stays at home, but you get to keep your church open. You're just controlled opposition. You're just controlled opposition. You don't vote according to getting reelected, nor do you pastor or nor do you preach so that the board keeps you in the church. You preach the word of God. You do what's correct. We will make it up times 10. I believe that Donald Trump will cause and has caused. This is the thing. It's you preach the full gospel. And with Donald Trump, you preach the full Trump. Donald Trump is secured somewhere between 14 and 16 trillion dollars of foreign and domestic investment into our economy. Nobody's ever done that, not to mention the tariffs. That's not the tariff chart we just showed you. He's right, there's going to be massive growth, but you cannot overcome $2.3 trillion worth of deficit spending in one budget bill. You cannot overcome that. You're talking about terrorists bringing in hundreds of billions. And we're like, hundreds of billions is great. What's $1 trillion? What is $1 trillion? 1,000 billions. 1,000 billions, and the economic growth is going to overcome the deficit spending? It will never do that. Donald Trump will mitigate it through massive growth, but he will not overcome it with massive growth. So this is not correct. I don't agree with them. Oh, I'm going to get, MAGA whoever is now, MAGA Ultra 74 is now going to be against me. I don't care. You're stupid. You're a neocon MAGA moron who's just sick of frantically following Donald Trump. What happened to no new wars? What happened to being a fiscal hawk? What happened to cutting spending? Well, since Donald Trump's doing the spending, now it becomes right. Well, why don't you just build a pull to Donald Trump and start worshiping him? You don't hear that around here. And we sat here. Aaron and I and Will, we sat here for 7 hours behind a microphone. And we're watching it before that, watching Donald Trump getting elected. I have no regrets about voting for Donald Trump, and I would vote for Donald Trump again. He's certainly better than everybody else. Everybody else. You're like, what? You like DeSantis? Like, yeah, but you know what I like? I like DeSantis. But DeSantis is basically banning speech because you're not allowed to have a Palestinian flag in Florida.
So stupid.
I would never get one because of my extreme disdain for Islam. But, it's like, it kind of instigates me to like want to defy it. What I mean? I just hate the flag so much I could ever do it. But I mean, I don't like that. Donald Trump wouldn't do that. Donald Trump doesn't do that. He's still a little bit too much with all of these. You can't say this and you can't say that based on somebody's religion. You're like, Tom, you're okay with people bashing Christianity? I'm not okay with it, but I'm okay with them having the right to do it. I'm not okay with it. They'll answer to God for it, but I want them to have the right to it. I want you to have the right to to put in the chat whatever you want. I mean, I want you to be able to do that. I mean, the thing is, obviously, when you're dealing with private companies and chats and whatever, you're an idiot on here. We're just gonna ban you into oblivion. But I'm just saying you have the right to put it on there, and we'll ban you into oblivion. But anyway, But as far as having the ability to speak whenever you want to speak, because this is private, this is all platform stuff. It's not, you're not allowed to come into Foundation Church and say anything you want because it's private property. But out there in the world, you can, and you can always develop your own platform and just have an anti-Christian platform. I am all in favor of you having the right to do that. I'll be against you. I'll speak against you. I'll try to defeat you. But you have the right to do it. You said, Donald Trump is the best in every category than anybody else for all intents and purposes. But he's not doing well on the debt because it has not slowed. And Doge has faded into oblivion, faded deeply into the background. And Elon is correct here. When you go and you're campaigning, saying that you're going to cut government spending and you sign on to a $2.3 trillion deficit spending package. And yes, there's great things in it, but actually they're leveraging you with that too. Here's the great things. We need the CBP agents. We need to keep the border closed. We need to build more border wall. So what happens is, just so you know, a lot of those NGOs that we all hate are being fully, fully paid for in this bill. They're being fully financed in this bill. I mean, what's been cut? If you're going $2.3 trillion into more debt, deficit spending, then what's really been cut? Not much. All right, let's go to the next one. Where the heck am I? Where am I at? I mean, therefore I am. There we are. Breaking, the Senate just shot down a proposal to take $1.4 trillion. This is all new. It's gone back and forth. It was in there. Then the Senate proletariat took it out. And they put it back in. And now they just voted it back out. That's the truth. That's how it went. Senate just shot down a proposal to take 1.4 million illegal immigrants off Medicaid thanks to Thune's refusal to replace the parliamentarian. She's the one demanding and meet a 60-vote threshold. She's suddenly demanding that you have to meet a 60-vote threshold because it's a Republican bill. So here's the thing. Now, she wants, you're like, well, then you're, Tom, you're on the side of the parliamentarian. No. The parliamentarian is doing it to defeat Trump. I'm doing it to defeat debts and deficits. Okay, there's two different things. And she's trying to defeat actual conservative ideals and principles and conservative spending inside of the big, beautiful bill. But anyway, so here's the thing. So the argument is, if you watch this stuff like I do, what the Democrats are saying is the 1.4, because they keep saying that Americans... Or may not even use the word Americans. They'll say that people, because they know they're talking about illegals, people are losing their Medicaid benefits. Medicaid, for all intents and purposes, is welfare. It is welfare for medical treatment. The 1.4, there's just the horrible, noxious Sheldon Whitehouses of the world and Chris Murphys of the world and all, Tim Walz, I guess he thinks he's going to run for president with his jazz hands and all that. All of them are saying that Americans are losing their Medicaid benefits. Not one American. Not one American is losing any benefits whatsoever when it comes to Medicaid. Not one. Except for those that are on there for depression and not working. Those are the people who are going to lose their Medicaid. The people who are able-bodied are losing their Medicaid benefits because this is basically medical welfare. So people are able-bodied, fully able-bodied to go and work, go flip a burger, are now going to have to go flip burgers. That's true. That is happening with Americans. But those aren't people who need medical assistance. Those are people who are fraudulently receiving medical benefits. The people who are losing it are illegals, 1.4 million of them. And what the Democrats will say is not one of them are receiving it from Medicaid. No, they're receiving it from agencies that are funded by Medicaid. Such fucking liars. Disgusting, perverted, repulsive human being liars. That's who they are. Well, they're not receiving it from Medicaid. They're receiving it from, from AC Care, which is funded by Medicaid. That's what they're doing. That's why Gavin Newsom canceled his socialized medicine in California for illegals, because he probably told everybody, well, it's being funded by NGOs. The NGOs are being funded by Medicaid. It's just like we are not anymore because of Donald J. Trump's great job at the border. We were the number one sex trafficker on the planet because of the NGOs like Jewish Family Services and the Catholic Charities down on the border in the Darien Gap, funneling all of those underage kids across the southern border to be sex trafficked. That was all being done by NGOs, but not by the government. But the government funds the NGOs. So the United States, you and I are, you and I, our tax dollars are funding human child sex trafficking. Not anymore under Donald J. Trump, because the border, for all intents and purposes, is closed. All right, go to the next one for me. So let's introduce this woman. You've probably seen a lot of this already, but it just popped back in because of the back and forth. Hence the title of the show, The Big Beautiful Battle. It just keeps going back and forth with this. So resistance, meet the Democrat, single-handedly blocking key provisions in President Trump's Big Beautiful Bill. Elizabeth McDonough, a close ally to Obama, serves as the Senate parliamentarian. Aaron, don't worry, she's nonpartisan.
Of course.
I mean, because she's appointed, so she's nonpartisan.
All right, right.
You know, so everybody else in establishment, NGO run DC, is nonpartisan, even though they're all registered Democrats and all vote Democrat and all give to Democrats. But they're all nonpartisan. Suddenly, when they go in and do their jobs, they become nonpartisan. That's what they all do. You know, like Christopher Wray and all those back in the Biden years. I mean, they're all nonpartisan. They're extremely partisan. All these judges like Boasberg and all the rest of them, they're all not, they're not, you know, they're major partisans everywhere else. But when they cross that office line, when they go to do their jobs, they shut off all partisanship and become impartial, nonpartisan people. That's what you're supposed to believe with this woman. Obviously, you can just look at her and know she's a filthy, rotten Democrat. There is a solution to her efforts to stop the president's agenda. Why hasn't it been done? J.D. Vance, he could overrule her as president of the Senate, which he can. But you're like, well, she's trying to defeat the Big Beautiful Bill. No, she's trying to actually defeat the only good portions of the Big Beautiful Bill. So you see how complicated life kind of is? It's really not, because it's all right or wrong. I'm going to vote for some wrong things to get the right. No, thank you. Insist that there's a line item vote or don't do it. Seriously. Well, yeah, but you could lose your job then, because they'll say you're not producing for your state. Good. Because all that Ted Cruz is producing for his state is debts and deficits. What do you mean, Tom? You see the debt clock? We already put it up. What are they producing? Debt and deficits. That's it. There it is. That's all they're producing. Well, but he got a bill. You know, whoever, what Democrat, whether it's Sheldon Whitehouse, whether it's Chuck Schumer or Ted Cruz, you know, They've secured lots of money for their districts. Have they really secured money for the districts? Well, it's great that let's say you secured $60 million for your district, that now is going to go bankrupt because of that. So you won the day, you won the battle and lost the war. You won the day, like you have money today, but none tomorrow. Is that 60, if this continues to go the way that it is with the hyperinflation, that $60 million that you secured becomes basically Third Reich nothing but monopoly money. All right, go back to the tweet for me. So there you go. Democrat Senate parliamentarian blocks cutting off funding for sex change operations. They're great parts of this bill. That's why you do line item instead of omnibus. You don't have anything like Elon Musk said. If it's big, it can't be beautiful. You go line item. And that's the thing, too, is you let people off the hook, because what people will say who vote for this, like a Democrat, they're never going to vote for it, but if a Democrat did vote for this, they would say, well, you know what? I'm just making up a different bill with it, but say there was border provisions in there to build the border wall, and also transition surgery money for illegals on there. So they're both in there. So you have border security and transition surgeries for illegals. So the Democrat will say, gives them an out, gives them the plausible deniability, they'll be able to say, well, yeah, you know, I voted for border wall funding, but I had to vote for that to get the transition surgery money for the illegals. You see what I'm saying? That's how they play. So you go line item and you put everybody on the record per issue. Are you for or against? Are you for or against border wall? Are you for or against transition surgeries? That's what you do. But they see, why do they do these omnibus spending bills? So they can all stay in office. Everybody, Republican and Democrat, they can all stay in office because they all have plausible deniability. Say there to me, just say it's a Joe Biden bill. There'll be, say there's 100 items in the bill. 70 of them are horrific, horrible leftist policies, initiatives, whatever. And 30 of them are middle of the road to right wing. So if the right winger votes for me, you can say, look at all the right wing stuff I voted for, even though I voted in left wing stuff. And then the left winger can say, yeah, but it was mostly left wing, even though I voted in some right wing stuff. They all get to keep their jobs then. That makes sense, Aaron?
Yeah.
See, they all get to keep their jobs. You know why? Because what's their number one priority, Aaron? To keep their jobs.
Yeah.
That's it. Not your betterment.
No.
Not your betterment. Not to make the country better. I don't even want them to work for my betterment. I want them to leave me alone and get out of my freaking way. You know, I would enjoy the FBI not meeting with Facebook to ban people like me. I would like that, you know, because right now I have 30,000 followers on Facebook and 4 people watching. I mean, I would enjoy that. I really would enjoy that. It would be nice. It would be nice to not be banned for life off of YouTube because YouTube/Google was meeting with the FBI on a weekly basis and had a backdoor digital, what do you call it, communication with them, what do we call it, with the FBI, had a way to communicate digitally with the FBI, yeah. I mean, with YouTube.
They had their own portal.
Yeah, thank you, backdoor portal. They could just send, hey, and I'm not saying I was on there. I'm not a big name podcaster, but they sent, you know, ban the TLP said, ivermectin works. You know what? Ivermectin does work. And I was banned for life off of YouTube for that. You see what I'm saying? My church was banned for life off of YouTube. But anyway, so that's how it all works. Everybody keeps their jobs through these omnibus spending packages because you have plausible deniability. So anyway, McDonough, a Democrat who serves as a Senate parliamentarian, has been blocking provisions in President Trump's Big Beautiful Bill, left and right, starting with funding cuts for the CFPB, and now blocking provisions to block the use of Medicaid funds for sex change operations for kids and to prevent illegal immigrants from receiving Medicaid or CHIP coverages. So this woman is able to, and Tom, can you explain to us how she has power? No, I can't. How does it, I'll be honest with you. I've heard of the Senate parliamentarian before, I think, but I either completely and totally forgot about it or I didn't know anything about it till 2 weeks ago. I had no idea, by 2 weeks ago, I mean sometime last week, so somewhere between 7 and 10 days ago, maybe, I knew about it. But that's it. I mean, I might have known about it before. So why does this woman have the power to do so? So I did a little research. The parliamentarian of the United States Senate is the official advisor to the United States Senate. So she's an advisor, but she has the ability to remove things out of bills. Official advisor to the United States Senate on the interpretation of standing rules of the United States Senate and parliamentary procedures. So she's allowed to say, you know what, it goes against parliamentary procedure to remove funding for transition surgeries for minors. Incumbent parliamentarian, this is her, Elizabeth McDonough, has held the office since 2012. So I was right, I said a decade, but it's actually 13 years. Appointed by 13 years, this liberal freaking whore, leftist whore, has been just decimating good bills or making horrible bills more horrible or bad bills into horrible bills or decent bills into bad ones, good ones into bad ones. Or good ones into less good ones. Incumbent parlamentarian Elizabeth McDonough has been there, appointed by Harry Reid. As the presiding officer of the Senate may not be and usually is not aware of the parliamentary situation currently facing the Senate, a parliamentary staff sits second. So did everybody hear that right here? This is just Wikipedia. As the presiding officer of the Senate may not be and usually is not, she is the presiding officer of the Senate and usually not aware of the parliamentary situation currently facing the Senate. She has a parliamentary staff. Aaron, who pays for that?
Me.
There you go. You can answer me. That's correct. Parliamentary staff sits second from the left of the Senate dais to advise the presiding officer on how to respond to inquiries and motions from senators, including the sergeant at arms, will restore order in the gallery. The role of the parliamentary staff, we're paying for all of this. Why do we need a staff? Why do we need a parliament? Why do we need a Senate parliamentarian? I don't know. We don't. The role of the parliamentary staff is advisory, and the presiding officer or Senate may overrule the advice of the parliamentarian. In practice, this is rare. It's rare to overrule. Okay, so we've established this now. It is rare to overrule the leftist who is pulling things out of bills. So if you ever wondered why it all turns to crap since 2012, every good bill turns to crap. It's because of her. And of course, all the other Democrats. But Aaron, don't worry. She's nonpartisan.
Yeah, of course.
Because she's the parliamentarian. She was appointed by Harry Reid and couldn't be any more of a baby butchering monster. In practice, this is rare for anybody to overrule Lizzie. The most recent example of a vice president as president of the Senate, get this, Aaron, overruling the parliamentarian was Nelson Rockefeller in 1975. Aaron, what year were you born?
93.
20 years before Aaron was born, and Aaron's 30. That was the last time anybody overruled a parliamentarian. Do you ever wonder why things turned to crap? We're being run by liberals, even when we own the Senate. And here's the worst thing about it, is the Republicans in the Senate let it happen. Has anybody ever told you about the parliamentarian? Has anybody ever complained about it? No. They just, I mean, Ted Cruz is just on my mind. He's such a little freaking whore. With all of his lobbying money pouring into his coffers, he refuses to acknowledge that it's Israeli lobby money. But anyway, so 1975 was the most recent example of a vice president overruling the parliamentarian. That ruling was extremely controversial. Let's see now. 2005, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years ago. 50 years ago was the last time a vice president overruled it, and that was considered controversial. So controversial, we haven't done it in 50 years. So if you're just ever wondering, why is it that everything turns to crap? It's because of people like this. Is it really 10:02? Yeah. Holy, speaking of crap, holy crap. Go, Aaron.
I was just going to say, it's funny because her job could literally just be replaced with Grok. You could type in whatever question there is, and it's like, oh, here's your proceeding.
Yeah, and Elon's updating that bad boy, too. Grok was getting leftist. I mean, going hardcore left. Hardcore left. You better watch that Linda Yaccarino. That's who's running Twitter. He needs to fire that woman. That ruling was extremely controversial to such an extent that the leaders of both parties immediately met and agreed that they did not want the precedent to stand. So the next week, the Senate altered the rule under consideration via standard procedure. The Senate majority leader may also fire the parliamentarian. Aaron's John Thune fired her yet?
Nope.
Oh, and how the Epstein flight logs
Still not.
Still
out.
Not. Okay, yeah. Just making sure. Okay. So John Thune, the bent over spineless worm that he is, whose liberty score was 51%, so he votes with Democrats 49% of the time, but is considered to be a MAGA conservative. Not MAGA, but a conservative. The Senate Majority Leader also may also fire the parliamentarians, which hasn't happened, as occurred in 2001 during a dispute between parliamentarian Robert Dove and Majority Leader Trent Lott. Well, good job for Trent Lott. I don't know who Robert Dove was, unless Robert Dove was actually fighting for conservatism. Trent Lott, pretty conservative. So just so you know, if you're ever wondering why it is that all these bills turn to crap, or it's really good in the Congress because there is no congressional parliamentarian, and why they turn to crap is because no matter what they do in the Senate, it gets overruled by a leftist. And the worst part about it, again, and I don't mean to be redundant, but I mean to be redundant. The worst part about it is not that she overrules it, is that we never hear one freaking Republican ever say a word about it. Because you know why? Probably because you're not going to be accepted in the D.C. cocktail circuit unless you agree with the Senate parliamentarian. You bunch of bent over worms. I mean, seriously. I mean, again, I don't like, my wife hates when I do this, and I got a little ugly on Sunday. I blew it again. You know, I have to repent because I went a little off my rocker from the pulpit on Sunday. I mean, there was like kind of a that thrown down, and I mean, it was not good. Okay, well, that was bad. It's bad. All right, it was bad.
Oops.
It wasn't really on purpose, but it was bad. So anyway, it just kind of turned out to be that way. I forgot what I was talking about people getting their nuts lopped off. Brent, the pastor that Brent had brought up, like he has nuts lopped off at some point. Seriously, I was giving him some credit. I was like, maybe like somebody drugged him, dragged him to a castration site and lopped off his nuts.
He stood in line
and was like, couldn't wait to do it. Like, I just want to give this offering to feminists of my balls.
Yep.
You know, here it is, ladies. I mean, all you feminists, here you go. Let me go change some diapers and let me go mop the floor so my wife will have sex with me once a month.
It's funny because it's true.
What do I got to do, honey? What hoops do I need to cross?
How high,
hon? I don't remember what I was talking about before. Oh, but I can't stand. No, then senators, you know this is happening. That this parliamentarian is taking out all the good things out of all the bills. You know she's doing it. You don't say anything because of the political consequences to you. And you're one of these, and that's what gets me in trouble. I can't describe you. You're so bent over, and you're not an ankle grabber. An ankle grabber is a step up for you. You're a heel grabber. And you're not only a heel grabber, you go under your feet and grab and interlock your fingers. You're so bent over because you're so afraid of the consequences to you politically. And not just even politically. You're afraid of what the Goebbels media will say about you. You're afraid that you won't be invited to establishment swamp cocktail parties. But it's just like Aaron saw it live and in person. Jesse Ventura, who for some reason lost his mind, has gone leftist now. But when he actually had a rational thought flowing through his mind, he said these things. It's all a game. It really is. It is kayfabe. It's wrestling.
Yeah.
It's not real. What we see is not real. The reason why Donald Trump has gotten in so much trouble is because he's real. And he's a threat to what's not real. They want to keep the kayfabe going. Kayfabe was back in the day when wrestling used to tell you that it was real and no, it wasn't. Now they just call it sports entertainment. They've all acknowledged that it's fake. But back then, when I was a kid, 70s and 80s, watching wrestling, first of all, I thought it was real. And then I found out it wasn't. But when I became like 15 years old, you kind of know. But anyway, not kind of know, you know. But they want to keep it that way because all these people are butt buddies. Literally and figuratively. There's a lot. I mean, it's like Tucker said, why is it that everybody who's basically a war hawk and wants to send everybody to go fight and die in foreign wars is secretly homosexual?
That's right. Die for me, baby.
That's right. He's right. All right, let me go to the next one for you. Let me show you this because this is really good stuff from Massey. Theo Von video, omnibus bills and why they suck. Play for me.
I'll tell you right now. This would be 50% of solving the problem. Get rid of the giant bills, okay? The omnibus bills, the continuing resolutions, and even the big, beautiful bill.
Bring up omnibus bill. We looked it up the other day when Mr. Vance was here, but I just want to go over it again. An omnibus bill is proposed law that covers a number of diverse or unrelated topics. So it's not even really fair because you only get one vote on the bill?
Correct.
What?
And so typically an omnibus bill, it includes at least 12 other bills. Why not put that on the floor one at a time?
I agree.
And then that way, you can go to your representative or your senators and say, why did you vote for that? Right now, they can say, well, Theo, I had to vote for it. I had a pay raise for soldiers, right? They literally will put a pay raise for soldiers in every freaking giant bill so that if you vote against it, you have to go back home and watch TV ads that say he voted against a pay raise for the soldiers.
Right. Even though he may have voted for 90 other amazing things on the bill. Right.
Right. Right.
And that was one thing that was tied in there that if you went this way, you know.
Yeah.
It may have been like oxygen for grandmothers. Right.
Right. Literally, there probably is that in there.
But if you vote for oxygen for grandmothers and you cannot, they're not going to give. So I see what you're saying.
I voted against oxygen for grandmothers so many times they can't even run that ad anymore. It doesn't even seem real.
Because that's what they do. Again, they stack these bills. They put horrible things in them and then three good things. And if you vote against again, just using 100, they have 90 horrible things, 5 medium things, and 5 good things. So you vote against it because 90% of the bill is an absolute deficit spending, debt increasing atrocity. So you vote against it, but the one good thing was free oxygen for grandmas in Kentucky, all because they're going after Massey. So they can run ads against Massey saying that he voted against oxygen for grandma. Now, if you would line, Aaron just did it with Grok, you can line item these bills. Very easy to do. Aaron did it, and I mean, he is Davy Jones, but I mean, even a normal person who's not like a tech genius like Aaron is, but I mean, could do it. You can just put out these line item bills and it'll tell you exactly what it costs. And why are we not doing that? Would it take any longer to do it item by item than these weeks, days, months, and years it takes them to pass these minibus and omnibus spending packages? No.
No.
So just do one every day and get them all on the record.
Yeah.
And watch the Republicans scurry into the darkness. Let me show you, speaking of darkness, let me show you these stats. Change the subjects. Let's attack Islam. Yeah. Woo. I love it. Oh, skip that one, Brett, and then skip the next one. Skip both of those and just go to the next one for me. Sorry, I didn't tell you. Go to Peter Sweden, number of miles. Oh, wait, correction. Go to American AF. Sorry, buddy. And I'm screwing you up. So listen to this. This will set up the next couple slides. Play for me.
How many refugees has Poland taken?
Zero.
And you're proud of that?
If you are asking me, if you are asking me about Muslims' illegal immigration, none. Not even one will come to Poland. Not even one if it's illegal. We took over 2 million Ukrainians who are working, who are peaceful in Poland. We will not receive even one Muslim because this is what we promised.
But I asked
this
not about illegal
failed.
Immigrants. I asked about refugees. And Jean-Claude Juncker, the Commission President, says that you're racist. You sound proud of the fact that you haven't taken any refugees.
Of course, because this is what our people are expecting from our government. That's number one. This is why our government was elected. But this is why Poland is so safe. This is the reason why we had not even one terrorist attack. Look at the streets in Poland. And we can be called populists, nationalists, racists. I don't care. I care about my family and about my country.
So Poland takes in 1 million Ukrainian refugees, and she calls him a racist. Because he won't take in Muslims, but Muslim, is Muslim a race? No, that would be a religion, but she still calls him a racist. And they have absolutely, I mean, have you ever looked, you ever watched video from Warsaw, Poland? Have you ever? You should. Compare it to Philadelphia. You'd be like, you know what, man? And plus, it looks like Christmas Village. It looks like a little Christmas village where they'd film a Hallmark movie.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like. Downtown Warsaw, clean as can be. No crime, nothing. Nothing going on. I mean, literally, they have not one terrorist incident ever. Ever. And and everybody's got a gun. I mean, they're fine. I take that back. They're not, I don't know if everyone's got a gun. So I don't want to be inaccurate. They're certainly not left wing in their social agenda. So anyway, let's look at some stats here. Go to Peter Sweden's tweet. Number of mosques. Let's compare. Since Poland gets attacked, it's racist. And Aaron said, we just lean into it. Yeah, if you're going to call me that, I guess I'll just embrace it. Even though it's not true. You know, you're going to call me it anyway. So, you know what I'm racist against? You. Just point out, I'm you. Okay. But anyway, so let's look at the stats. Since he's being attacked for not allowing in these wonderful, you know, social enhancements. In Sweden, number of mosques. In Sweden, where there's wide open borders, absolutely wide open borders, Sweden, they have 300 mosques. Get that, guys? In little Sweden, 300 mosques. In Poland, three. Poland has 3.5 times bigger population than Sweden and has only three, only has basically 1%. Is that one? Yeah, not even. What would be 1%? 10% would be 30.
Yeah.
So 1%. Yeah. Basically, they have 1% of the mosque, even though they're three times bigger. Sweden has 100 times. Oh, I got it right. 100 times more mosques than Poland. So go to the next one for me. So look at these, though. It's a problem. Rape statistics. Sweden, 96 reported rapes per 100,000 people. Poland, 1.5 per 100,000 people. There are 64 times more reported rapes in Sweden than Poland. I wonder if that has anything to do with the Muslim population.
Nah.
It's only one difference. It's just like, why is it we have 35 million excess deaths since 2021, not 2020? Wasn't COVID. What was it exactly? Oh, it was the vaccine. Just look at the statistical data. Go to the next one for me. Peter Sweden tweet. Unreal. Two men have been jailed for gang raping a 14-year-old girl in Britain. They got 30 months in prison. Meanwhile, a mom who posted an offensive tweet, social media post, and quickly deleted it, got 31 months. She beat him by a month after they gang raped a 14-year-old. Peter Sweden on the bottom. Some more details. The two men were delivering a TV to the house when the 14-year-old answered the door as the mother wasn't home. After delivering the TV inside the house, they held the girl by force and took turns sexually assaulting her. Let's look at the suspects, shall we? Oh, what a shock.
Oh.
What a shock, huh? Unbelievable. All right, that's good. 10:14. That's good for a Monday. Love you guys. Oh, Aaron, put it up there. Here's Warsaw. Where would you like to live? There or London? you ever seen pics of London? People drive through with a video camera. How Paris? How about Paris? Ever driven through? Ever looked at that? You should look at what was the? I think it's in the post game. You'll see it in the post game. I can't remember what country it is. Oh gosh, I can't remember what it's. Ireland, Scotland. You see Scotland right now? Horrible. Ugh. It's overrun. It's absolutely, you go to the beach, it's all Islamic Muslim people. And you're like, Tom, that makes you, you're Islamophobic. I'm not scared of Muslims at all. I'm like, why would you sacrifice your culture on their altar? I don't get that. Why? Why would you just let them overrun your entire country and take over every last, and they, it's not just they take over the country in numbers. They take over the country socially. Everybody is terrified to stand up to them because they'll be called names, because Islamophobic. You'll end up in prison like Tommy Robinson. So they end up taking over your country using faux societal etiquette to do so. To be, you know, name calling, because if you dare speak out against them, you're called Islamophobic. But anyway, all right, love you guys, appreciate you. Rumble Rants tonight, PSU 47 with his trademark $47. Love you, appreciate you. Nate Dad, $20, love and appreciate you. Naz Yeager, $5, love and appreciate you. And by the way, Naz, I'm Caleb's best friend. I just wanted you to know. You know what I'm talking about. I'm his best friend. And that's just established. That's all a fact. Best friend right here. You got mom, you got dad over here sitting to my right, but I'm his best friend. That was established on Sunday. It's done, etched in stone. But anyway, love you guys. Appreciate you. Stick around for the post game. It's awesome. Back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. See you then. One last time. God bless you.